The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
The book of Psalms is that rich spiritual treatise, that dimension of meditation, devotion, and worship that we all need so desperately. It begins with the famous words, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night." Psalm 19:1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." And goes on to say that we're not to be guilty of presumptuous sin, the great transgression of Adam and Eve. But we're to say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Psalm 18, verse 19 says, "God delivers us because he delights in us." And the power-packed dynamics of Psalm 18:2 thrill us. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." No study of the Psalms would be complete without a reference to Psalm 23. And yet it is in a triplet of passages, 22, 23, and 24, that tell us of the cross and the crown, the glory of our Lord. Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, quoting from Psalm 22, a prediction of his death. In chapter 23, we read of the shepherd's crook, how he guides us and sustains us. And in chapter 24, of his crown, his coronation in glory. And the same Lord who died for us at Calvary presently leads us and guides us. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if we had to read Psalm 23 this way? "The Lord is not my shepherd, therefore I shall want. He will not make me to lie down in green pastures. He will not lead me beside the still waters. He will not restore my soul. He will not lead me in the paths of righteousness. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have to fear evil, for he will not be with me. His rod and his staff will not comfort me. He will not prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He will not anoint my head with oil. My cup will not run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall never follow me, and I will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wouldn't it be a tragedy if Psalm 23 read like that? And yet to some people who reject the Lord and will not submit to his guidance, that's just exactly the way it reads in their life. Psalm 27 tells us, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing will I strive after." Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is the man whose sin is covered." And according to Hebrews 9:15-17, it took the blood of Christ to cover sin. What a glorious blessing we have in New Testament Christianity that they were devoid of in Old Testament days, could only look forward to. In Psalm 37:25, we have the immortal refrain, "I've been young and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." In Psalm 42, we read, "As the hart," H-A-R-T, meaning the wild animal, the deer, "panteth after the water brook, so longeth my soul after thee, O God." In Psalm 46, my favorite of all the Psalms, says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Can any deny Psalm 51 as the greatest passage on penitence and prayer in the whole Bible? With a broken and contrite spirit and aching heart, David, after his grievous sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, pours out his heart in penitence to the Father. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Psalm 51 is a powerful passage of deep penitence and yearning and longing for the presence of God. In Psalm 66:18 we read, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And how many prayers have been hindered because sin was in the camp, in our hearts, in our lives. Psalm 77:5 says, "Consider the days of old," and how we need to turn to ancient days, to the things of God, and walk in the old paths, as Jeremiah 6 tells us to. Psalm 86 is a beautiful passage that extols the virtues of the characteristics and attributes of God. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid." In Psalm 103 we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name." Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Psalm 116:1 says, "I love Jehovah, for he hath heard my voice and my supplication." And then verse 12 of Psalm 116 asks the question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" But I would like to read as the epitome of the Psalms, a short one, Psalm 93, that tells of the power of the one with whom we have to do. "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." What is the main teaching of the book of Psalms? It's the main teaching of the whole Bible. The absolute sovereignty of God. God's will shall be done, whether I participate in it or not, is the thesis of the Bible and certainly the book of Psalms. And I believe a great verse that sums up our attitude toward God is Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." The book of Proverbs is like the Sermon on the Mount, and the book of James, and the parables of Jesus. Statements that challenge us with an earthly story, applying a spiritual application. The book of Proverbs tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your might." Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 6 tells us of seven things the Lord abominates, and they have to do with the misuse of our tongue and our lives because of poor attitude. "Commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye." And that ought to be our attitude. Of an evil woman, it is said in chapter 7:27, "Her house is on the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Proverbs tells us, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the house of the righteous shall stand." Read chapter 12, verse 7, and chapter 14, verse 11. "The way of the transgressor is hard, and fools make a mock of sin." We also read in Proverbs that a child left to himself is a heaviness to his mother. We read of the necessity, the urgency of discipline in our homes, one thing America and the world desperately needs this very hour. But Proverbs also tells us, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and framework of silver." Proverbs 25:11. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he that is deceived thereby is not wise." Proverbs 18:21. But the most eloquent chapter in Proverbs is chapter 31, "A virtuous woman who can find, for a price is far above rubies." Read the book of Proverbs for power and strength. We learn that envy is the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 14:30. We also learn of the characteristics that make us what we ought to be in God's sight.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.